What's up, everybody? It's Roger and James here from This Kingdom Podcast. It's Tuesday. It's time to look at back at some of the comic books from the last week. I'm going to share our thoughts on some of the big releases and stuff that we've been reading. To be honest, it felt a little bit light. There was a little bit of slim pickings of what I personally wanted to read this week. A lot of stuff that's already kind of already ongoing, and maybe if I hadn't started them, I'd kind of missed them. So going to be some of the ones I read this week include the new Star Wars 55. I also read the IDW Tales from the Castle Star Wars book as well. The What If there was quite a few of them, but I read the one with Flash as Spider-Man and X-Men Magneto. So first off, James, what did you read this week of any interest?
Star Wars. Specifically the Star Wars 55, which was the end of that story arc, the Hope Dies story arc, which we've been kind of raving about for the last, a couple of months at least. And it was a good ending for it, I thought. Kind of leaves it open for a lot more stories because the fleet is still scattered. It was pretty much what I wanted. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was just like watching the end of Star Wars The Last Jedi, where the entire Rebels has been wiped out and there's only a few of them left. I read it and I went, yeah, that was exactly the same thing. In order to make the Resistance or the Rebellion look good, or look like they've got a harder battle, is eliminate them all, kill them all off, and basically kind of give them a, make them into leaders when really they kind of messed up when they shouldn't have. It was odd. It was also a weird seeing Han flying around in an X-Wing. That was quite fun. Kind of removed the Millennium Falcon from it.
Yeah, and even not just flying the X-Wing, but seeing him in the X-Wing pilot helmet was weird. Yeah, not really a problem or anything. It's just, but it's good. Storytelling should take characters out of their comfort zone. So putting him in the X-Wing, having Leia running around doing covert ops things and on the Executor, which was previous issues, not this issue, but, stuff like that. And then, we got to briefly see the fate of General Dodonna, who was one of the characters in A New Hope, one of the ones standing around the table. We got to see Hera. We got to see Akbar. Yeah, I think that there's a setup for a lot of very interesting stories here. I assume, I'm just guessing here, it will end in however many issues with them finding Hoth. And that will probably be the lead-in for that.
Yeah. No, it's really good. I really like this series. It's one of my easily top picks. As soon as I know that one there is like straight in, I'm gonna read it. It is, well, it's the main Star Wars title, and that's kind of the big thing. I like the art style is a lot better than it was a while ago. It seems to have improved, so that's good. Yeah, definitely a highlight. I'm gonna flip over a little bit over onto some other Star Wars. I did read the Tales of the Castle, which is this new Halloween mini series thing from IDW about Darth Vader's castle on Mustafar. It's one of those things, it looks very impressive because of how they've just got this castle just in the middle of lava, and it looks great. The story was a little bit, as you'd expect, its main aim were at kids, about them just landing on the, sort of landing there and just going, oh, that looks a bit scary, and there's troopers there, and it kind of one of those things of, nothing really happened of any consequence. It was, and they went back and did like a weird story with the rebels on a ship where some Jedi or Sith has been trapped, is jumping from droid to droid and like haunting places until they find. And it was like, okay, I know what you're going for here, but you're kind of shoehorning in Halloween into something that really didn't look like it.
I feel like this was somebody sitting in a room going, what would be great? Let's do a ghost story, but it's with the ghost crew from Star Wars Rebels. Yeah. And then going from there, and you're just kind of like, yeah, but is that actually a good idea? I mean, it makes a great pun in the title, but after that, I mean, the Rebel team is not really the one you want to be telling that kind of story with, especially since it was only Chopper and Kanan and Hera. None of the other guys were in it, I don't think. But yeah, it just kind of happened, and it was a story, and it ended, and that was it. And there's four more issues of it. I honestly don't really know what they're planning on doing with the other four issues, but it's like you said, it's aimed at kids, it's not really supposed to be taken seriously. If you were going into this thinking, oh, it's going to be an actual horror story like they did with the Stormtrooper zombie story from like 7 or 8 years ago, no, this is nothing like that. This is for kids.
The other thing that keeps getting me is this obsession with this castle. I mean, even Lego announced and this massive great big castle set. It looks great. And I'm looking at it and going, but that, it feels like that's something that's only come in the last, since Rogue One. You know, they introduced it slightly and it's like they're sort of forcing on this castle and how impressive it is. And it's like, this is not, you know, He-Man. It doesn't really have that same feel. I don't know what it is. It just feels a little bit forced. Literally.
There's a lot going on with it right now because the Vader comic itself is also dealing with how it's built. You know, we saw it in the other Vader comic. We saw it in this Star Wars comic. Sorry, not the Adventures one, but the actual Star Wars comic several arcs ago. Yeah, they seem to be pushing this, and I wonder if it's going to become something important at some point. Heck, I think the Secrets of the Empire VR experience that's at the two Disney parks and the one that was in London there, I think that was also on Mustafar, and part of it was in kind of like similar to the castle. Not to split off too much. I got to say, I was not impressed with the Lego Mustafar set. It looks pretty bland, honestly. But
yeah, for that price, it was a little bit.
What was it? $170 American dollars,
Yeah, it was a little bit too much. So let's flip over back to the comic book. So another one I read was X-Men Black Magneto, kind of a one-shot setting up Magneto in kind of quite a good light, really, kind of having a heartfelt talk with a girl in a coffee shop in country of USA. You know, there's as much stereotypes as you could get out of that, and him kind of being made out to be different and then just kind of going on a rampage and just destroying everybody at a special military base. It was quite good. It wasn't that bad. I kind of, you said it was one shot. I didn't realize, I sort of was going, well, they didn't really go anywhere. And then it makes sense now that it's one shot, but obviously they're rebooting everything.
Right. So there's actually going to be five of these, but they're not all going to be Magneto. This is the only Magneto one. There's going to be one each week through the month of October, because it is a 5 week month as far as comics are concerned. And this is just the first one. It's also worth noting that the main story is by Chris Claremont, who is the uncanny X-Men writer from the 1970s and the 1980s. He is the person who created almost all of the tropes that the X-Men still use today. And he is the one who turned Magneto from a generic D-list, no personality villain, like we saw in the original first issue of the X-Men, into this person who was tormented as a kid. He was involved in the Holocaust as an internment person interned in the camps, gave him nuance, turned him into like a tragic anti-hero slash villain. So a lot of that's really what's coming up here. This is the same story that Claremont has been telling pretty much since 1980, give or take. But this is the perfect time to retell it, to reestablish Magneto and his current, you know, conflicted nature, because their current take on him is he wants to be good, but he just really can't because he's too cynical or too realistic to believe that just being good will get stuff done. So
yeah, I mean, I always think Magneto is probably one. I think that's why he works so well as a villain, is because he's not one dimensional. He's not just I'm a villain and I like smashing things up. He's and this comic book did a very good job of setting up that, you know, he can be kind, he can, you know, he loves other mutants, he just doesn't like, and he'll pretty much do anything for other mutants. It's just the fact that he'll just squash humans out the way because of it, because of the way that they treated him. He is so much different than most of the sort of standardized villains. And like you say, he is a kind of an anti-hero because, you know, you could look at, I don't think sometimes the movies did a great job of portraying it as well, but, you know, that thing that he is tormented, I think the newer ones did a better thing of him losing his kids, and, you know, that kind of aspect to him. And I think this comic book is a good read. I did enjoy it. It was definitely, because X-Men's always a bit of a tricky one to jump in and out of, because they are usually so long-winded In terms of how many books they've got coming on and stuff.
Well, Chris Claremont is definitely the definition of long-winded. But that, again, comes from the age that he was writing in, where you described everything that was happening, even though you could see it, and you went on long-winded talks about the internal struggles that the character had gone through. And every single comic, you would get their full history of every single problem that they ever had. Yeah, it was a different time. It was a different era. And he still writes that way. There's nothing wrong with that. You just have to know it going in. Yeah. Because there's a lot to read in his books. I mean, he's actually gotten better. This is not as long-winded as some of his other stuff.
No, it's good. It was definitely one of the better ones. Another one I read was the What If was the Spider-Man one, where was it Flash Thompson becomes Spider-Man. And it's kind of quite an interesting one, because they kind of set up, you know, I think they had Nick Fury as this special powered being that can sleep through time, and they kind of explained it quite well of what was going on, and just really showing how Flash as Spider-Man would not work, because he's missing, so you know, that thing about missing the responsibility, we're missing that humbleness that Peter Parker has that makes him a good hero, and therefore he's aggressive, he just jumps in and he's fighting and he wants to be a hero, but he's doing it for just to be, you know, big and flash, and you know, he's living in a trailer park and still living off the heydays of being a high school jock. And, you know, there's this old lady in the park going, it doesn't matter in the real world what happened at high school, you know, and then he ends up kind of basically killing Peter Parker and going to jail. I mean, it was a very strange little book and I enjoyed it. So I always like these little what ifs, because this is what comic books allow you, the writers, to go off and do something completely different. And in this structure as well, is just, it happens, it moves on, and it has no consequences. It just shows you a different side of, you know, of Marvel. I might even pick up and have a look at this a little bit more at some of the other ones I did, because I kind of quite like these styles.
Yeah, the what ifs can be fun. I didn't pick this one up. I'm not planning on picking up any of the ones that are coming out this month, but they are always kind of fun. Just thought exercises, what would have happened if just one tiny thing had been changed instead. Want to talk on Nick Fury real briefly. Traditionally in the past, what if comics are introduced by the Watcher, you know, that one of those beings that we saw briefly in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Yeah. They were talking to Stan Lee in that weird pocket dimension. They watch things, and in theory they can see multiple dimensions. So the Watcher would introduce the what if books and go lay out the premise and then you would jump into it. And I didn't read it, but I'm assuming that now Nick Fury, who has become basically the Watcher of Earth, sort of, is filling in that role in the What If book now.
He was like full on a cape on another planet, looking down going, you know.
Should be on the moon.
Yeah, it was good. It was. I did enjoy it. It was a little bit lighthearted in some ways, because you knew it didn't really matter, but it was just a fun way. I think just naturally I'm quite drawn to Spider-Man stories as a whole. So when I'm looking through the books each week, you know, I think Spider-Man just generally just jumps out at me a lot more. And this was like, oh, okay, that's always cool. Because Flash Thompson's always he's always been a you know, just a horrible psychic, horrible just bully and all the rest of it. And he comes to terms with that. That's what he is. But yeah, it was a fun little book. Just trying to think. So what else have you read this week?
The only other book I read from Marvel or related to Marvel properties this week was Shatterstar number one. People might remember Shatterstar briefly from Deadpool 2. He was the uppity alien who got chopped into pieces by a helicopter blade. But there's a lot of continuity with the character in the Marvel universe itself. I mean, completely convoluted, makes no sense continuity, and I think this little mini series is supposed to kind of fix that, or at least kind of streamline it, kind of like they're doing with Captain Marvel over in the Life of Captain Marvel right now.
Yeah,
and it's kind of necessary, because his backstory is just all sorts of screwed up right now, and he is going to show up in the new X-Force books, which should spring out of Extermination once that ends.
Yeah,
so yeah, let's get him back into circulation and kind of clean up that past. And that's what this book is for. So I think it's an okay story if you don't know the background. You know, it's an action story. But if you're a continuity nerd, then you probably want to check this out just to see what they're doing with the character.
Yeah, it was a bit of it was it's that kind of thing. I saw this one come up. It was number one, and usually that's kind of what I kind of get drawn to if I'm not really into the series. And it was like, yeah, it just didn't jump out at me to just kind of jump into it. It was a bit like the Asgardians of the Galaxy number two. It was like, I'm not even. I read number one. It was like it didn't pull me in enough to kind of keep going on for that.
Yeah, Asgardians of the Galaxy. We talked about the first issue, of course, and I just like the only reason this book exists is because you again like Star Wars. They wanted to put a pun in the name.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy, Asgardians of the Galaxy. It's like, cool. That's fun, but where is your story? So,
yeah. Lots of kind of random books. If you've got into the arcs and stuff of those, you know, carry on with them. But for some bizarre reason, this week was one of those ones of none of the ones I've been reading were out. It was maybe, like you say, maybe because of the 5 week, they're a little bit more spread out this month. But that could be it. But let us know in the comments below what comics you've been reading, and if you've got any suggestions for us, we'd love to hear from them as well. Go check us out over at thiskingdom.com. You can like, follow, and subscribe on all the different platforms. James, where can they find you?
You can find me, heroiclegacy.com.
And on that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Laters.
Later. Later.